So, I loved it. I love all your Krisha. With anyone who puts Chris Dubeck in a movie deserves.
Yeah, the man. Hell yeah.
But this was such a different experience than It Comes at Night.
Yes.
I want to start with something interesting. You bookend your film with her bike ride.
Yeah.
Coming into the sunset and then leaving. And it starts, she looks like a little girl.
Yeah.
She's certainly not a little girl when we leave it.
Absolutely.
How does a story mainly about fathers and sons tell an amazing story about a young girl?
That's a good question, man. It just naturally happened and became like really exciting to me, the fact that this, these men are like overshadowing this younger woman in the family. You know, she's like in the shadows, and then letting that very kind of testosterone driven first part like segue into this young woman becoming like the heartbeat of it. And what Taya and I talked about a lot is this quiet strength she has, you know, and feeling her come into her own, and really, like, I think bring this family back together in a lot of ways, you know. I think a big part of it as well is just inspired by, I think parts of Emily are inspired by my girlfriend. The movies are very personal, so I'm always pulling from real life and loved ones and all that good stuff. So, yeah. And, I mean, you know, Taylor, who plays Emily, I just think is the best in the world.
Well, I know I appreciate it. It was a very poignant way after all that we'd seen.
Yeah, amen. You need it, right? Yeah, that's what I need.
As far as tackling Kelvin's character,
yeah.
I know you guys have been working on this such a long time.
Yeah.
When did you know, we've got his character? Was it the idea of the hair color? Was it the idea that there was a little bit of rebellion?
Yeah.
Like,
It wasn't one click or anything. It was just a sort of natural, organic thing that was pretty much constantly evolving, even as I was writing, because Ty started with stuff from my life and stuff I could clearly easily pull from, but then it became very collaborative with Kel and finding ways to link commonalities in our experience or specificities to his experience together. So that part of it really just happened organically as I was writing. So I was like pulling from my own personal stuff combined with talking to Kelvin and then integrating that. The hair color came later. So that was probably, the hair color was probably half a year after I started working on the script,
wow.
You know? And like he got a first draft 8 months before we started shooting. So I think the hair color came in probably 3 months after he got a first draft, you know? It's just continuing to talk and evolve and everything. So it all just sort of linked up together.
Knowing that your work is so personal, does it ever hit you, I can't put that in there?
Well, the first time, honestly, the first time I really felt that was the end of the movie when the kids go to Missouri. Recreating that stuff was the first time I was like, I don't know, I think, have I gone too far? I'm terrified. This is an all-consuming dread. This is bizarre. It was crazy emotional shooting that stuff. I just started breaking down and crying, and we were all crying and holding each other, and it was nuts, man. Yeah. But I'm happy I did it. I come out on the other side cathartic and happy we did it together. But that was an instance.
That begs the question then, the importance of Lucas's character giving us the slight, almost Shakespearean introduction of him,
yeah,
to him taking over.
Yeah.
How much of him is you? How much is not? How much is a different side?
I think, honestly, the closest characters to me in the movie are Ty and Luke, and at different phases in my life. And then, for Luke, I'd say, you know, a lot of it started with me. And then Lucas brings his own thing to it. He brought a lot of himself in there. Whether that's just a lot of that's literally in the performance of the mannerisms and the manner in which he does things, the ad libs he brings about it. He really wanted, because he's he hasn't really tried to bring him, like, truly play himself with no falseness in a role, if that makes sense. So he was trying to go for that. So in a lot of ways, I would say, like, Ty and Luke are like start with me, but then Ty becomes this new thing with Kelvin. Luke becomes this new thing with Lucas. Alexa becomes this new thing with Lex, and same for Taylor, for Emily. And I would say, like, Alexa and Emily are inspired by my girlfriend more, you know, so in the different sides of her. So, and then same for the parents. The parents started with my parents, but then became a lot of things from like Kelvin's parents as well. So, yeah.
I don't know many parents like Sterling could have done. That's yeah. A wild man right there.
Yeah.
Getting to work with Reznor and Atticus, that must have been a dream come true. I know in the press notes you talk about that. Can you dive into the score and vice versa, how much fun you had the soundtrack? Because yeah. I think the music in it is, especially the beginning of the film, is a whole part of it.
Absolutely. It was huge. To me, it was always, I thought the soundtrack, this would be a soundtrack film with the DNA of stuff like Dazed and Confused and Goodfellas and Boogie Nights, where like the needle drops are the ebb and flow of the whole movie, you know? So that was always there. And it started with the soundtrack. And another part of that is just how huge music was for me in high school and getting me through stuff. So I was hoping that these songs and this texture would all bring you closer to Tyler and Emily's headspaces and world, you know? So the music was really fun. A lot of it's my favorite music. And if you like take it apart and put it in a playlist, a story's being told with the arc of the movie, like from song to song, which is really fun to do. But I was terrified when I sent, because I embedded the music in the script and you could like play and listen to it. And I sent that to Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross, and they were like, almost 40 songs and none of it was Nine Inch Nails or any of Trent or Atticus's score or anything. So I was terrified they'd be like, where do we fit into this? And it was the total opposite. They loved the script and thought it was totally unique and different and were excited to figure out where score fits into everything. So I think what we settled on is the score being more like the spirit of the character coming out, you know, like the literally internal subconscious and spirit of like brother and sister that can sonically come out and link them throughout the movie. And they do a lot of, they do things like taking literally sounds from the movie and manipulate them and use them musically. Even to like, and the reason we use a piano theme throughout is because of Tyler with the piano and when he's playing, and even to, everything else. It was amazing working with them. And sometimes it's just like letting a track stand on its own. Sometimes it's like fusing score with the soundtrack and then letting score take over or vice versa. It was really awesome getting to work with them.
With your DP, Drew, I think it In Comes the Night, you capture small spaces so well. In this, there's those moments, but also it's a big community you give us.
Yeah.
Can you talk about even like the car shots at the beginning with the gyro? But then making it so much bigger. I mean, you guys explode in this film, I think, both
of
you.
That's how it felt. Yeah. That's how it felt, sort of. It felt really liberating, I think, for us, you know, especially going from Creesha, one location, to Night, that's like an even more... it's kind of a more reserved filmmaking in one location, to where we were just ready to explode. And that's literally how it felt. It was so much fun. It's still, the film grammar itself is pretty much approached in the same way, especially that Creesha was, in the sense of everything we're doing is trying to just almost bring the internal of the character out. So like make it feel all camera movement, all colors, all aspect ratio, make you feel closer to Tyler or Emily's emotional head state. Because there are two protagonists basically, and like just making you feel and think and everything. So to the spinning camera, it's because for me, that's what, you know, at that age, any age, but especially when you get your car at a young age, it's complete freedom. And like being in your car with the person you love is complete freedom. But like there's like a beautiful chaos to their relationship as well. And like the only way to visually express that and to feel how Tyler's head feels and how their relationship feels was to literally spin between their bodies, you know? And that's an example to what, but then like, you know, if Emily's taken over the movie after this huge tragedy that has happened, the aspect ratios change, it's shallow focus, it's static, we're trying to isolate her from her environment in a completely different grammar, and really, so it's always just kind of shape-shifting to the headspaces and where the characters are at, you know, and just trying to be honest to them. And it was awesome, though, having, like, not being contained by one location and just having the world to play in, you know?
So last question I've got to ask. Yeah. You're writing this when you were doing Night. Are you writing your next work while doing this process, or have you not come across the idea?
Nothing yet. I'm like a blank slate now because I think I put it all into this movie. So just need to get this into the world and then get away for a minute and figure out what could be next.
Well, Trey, we're enjoying your journey, so keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah. Thank you, man.
And appreciate the talk, man.
It was fantastic talking. It was a pleasure.